morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, April 13th, 2018. We have 25 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for rough conditions on the Columbia River Bar through Saturday morning, and small craft advisories around the region for winds through Saturday morning, along with hazardous seas as well. So on the Columbia River Bar this morning, we can expect seas 13, 14 feet through this morning. Seas are going to temporarily build to 17 feet with breaking waves likely during those max ebb current times. We had one around 4 a.m., another around 4:15 p.m. today, and another around 4:30 a.m. Saturday. So about 12 hours apart, those max ebb current times when things can get pretty difficult on the Columbia River Bar. And this morning, the Columbia River Bar is on yellow status. It's on the bar pilot's webpage. That means that some ships will be asked to wait if the pilots think that they are not really able to handle those conditions that are happening out there at the very mouth of the river, where things can get really problematic at certain times when the weather gets bad and the waves get big. It can be very hard to handle those ships out there. So they have to make sure that any ships that do come in are very well powered and able to handle the conditions there. Otherwise, they just ask them to wait. Overall, in our marine weather forecast, south winds 20 to 25 knots, gusting to around 30 knots and even to 35. Wind waves 7 feet high, west swells 15 to 16 feet at 15 seconds apart. Rain is in the forecast today all around, marine and on land. Let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 4 inbounders, we have 9 in the Astoria Anchorage, and we have 3 at Rice Island, and 9 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Probably the most conspicuous ship on the waterfront in Astoria right now is the USS Portland. She's a big gray military vessel at the port of Astoria at Pier 1. So she will be there until tomorrow morning at 8:30 when she will head upriver to Portland for public tours that will be happening next week, and then a christening. She'll be officially, I forget what the word is, but she'll be officially made into an official military vessel at a ceremony on the 21st, I think. But during the week, next week, she will be open for tours. Monday through, I think there's one day when she's not, but you can look it up. Just Google USS Portland. You'll be able to find something about when exactly you can go there. It's at the Port of Portland's Terminal 2, I believe. So at any rate, she'll be heading back downriver on the 22nd, Sunday, and you can see her coming downriver. She's a brand-new ship, brand-new military ship, and so that's kind of and she's named for Portland, for our Portland, and so that's been kind of an exciting thing. In our other merchant vessels on the river, the Lunita is arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria Anchorage today. She'll be there by about 1:30 this afternoon. The Serenity Ace is a car carrier arriving from Japan with Hondas on board. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 7:30 in the evening, so a big kind of a gap between arriving ships there. And she probably won't arrive in Portland until about 1:30 in the morning. The ATB Dublin C is arriving from Port Angeles. She's headed for the Vancouver Anchorage. She'll be delivering refined petroleum somewhere in the Portland area. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 p.m. and maybe be in Portland by about 5:30 in the morning on Saturday. The Queen Island is arriving from Japan. She's headed for the Vancouver Anchorage, and she'll pass Astoria in the wee hours, a little bit after midnight, and get there at about 6:30 in the morning on Saturday. In the Astoria Anchorage, the Lunita will be there until about 5 p.m. when she will head upriver to anchor off Kalama. And the rest of our ships in the Astoria Anchorage are all awaiting orders to head upriver to pick up cargo. They are the BTG Matterhorn, the Fiji, the Leto, the Ocean Bloom, the Palais, the Paolo Topic, the Unity Spirit, the Global Striker. And in Rice Island in the Anchorage there, a little bit opposite Tongue Point, a little bit upriver from Astoria, the Georgis, the Bright, Gemini, and the Ever Sovereign are awaiting orders there. In our outbounders, the Aegea Skeppy is leaving Vancouver, the anchorage there, with wheat on board. She's leaving around 5 a.m. That would put her past Astoria outbound maybe around 11 a.m. The Trudeau Sun is another wheat carrier heading out of Longview at about 7:30, maybe around 10 a.m. you might see her past Astoria. The Interlink Fidelity is leaving Longview with Petcoke on board at about 12:30. So we might see her in late afternoon passing Astoria outbound, along with the Gert Oldendorf that's leaving the port of Portland with potash on board around 12:30. So she'll be passing Astoria outbound around 6:30 or so. The J. Panero is leaving Portland with soda ash on board around 3 p.m. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. And the Ocean Highway is leaving Portland with Hondas on board, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about an interesting question, a question from a listener asking me about the following distance between ships, and that he saw some ships that seemed fairly close together on the river. And it made me think about some of the forces that are acting on vessels when they are going upriver and coming downriver. So I thought I'd talk about this. It's not something that I've talked about all that often. It is very interesting. I've been told by pilots that 2 miles between ships is ideal, when they're traveling on the river. That gives enough time to compensate. If, say, an engine quits or other problems arise and they have to throw out an anchor, you don't want ships piling up on one another, and so they tend to stay pretty far apart on the river. But there are lots of conditions acting on vessels that are on the river. One of them is the current. So there's always a downriver current trying to come downriver in the river, sometimes not regularly on flood, tides. When the tide is rising, the current reverses in the river, in the lower part of the river where we are, and goes backwards. But say, let's just talk about the ebb current, first of all, the downriver current, which is augmenting the natural downriver current. So the tide's falling, you've got that current, you've got the natural downriver current that can be pretty speedy in the river, and you have loaded, heavily loaded ships coming downriver, essentially being pushed along by the water. So they have some things to negotiate here. They need to maintain enough speed to have steerage, because they don't just want to be being pushed along by the water. So they have to be going faster than the water is pushing them. And they also have to be able to go slow enough so that their wake doesn't cause any damage on the shoreline or to other smaller boats that are in the river. And so they're constantly negotiating this on an ebb, plus the fact that they're very, very heavy, and if something did happen, it would be very, very difficult for them to stop. So ships are maintaining speed and headway on the river. Those are very important things at all times. And, you know, I've been told many times by pilots that generally when a ship leaves Portland loaded, say, for instance, Portland, heading downriver, they really have to know that when they get to the mouth of the river, they're going to be able to go across. So ships are planning way, way ahead when there are conditions like bar closures, because they, once they commit to going, they are going. Now, when a ship is coming, so ships do try to stay a couple of miles apart, but when under these conditions, there's a lot that they're handling. They handle it very safely the vast, vast majority of the time. The times that occasionally a ship will brush the bottom and technically run aground or actually run aground, but those things are very rare. But there is a lot that pilots and people on those ships are dealing with when they're traveling on the river. Now, ships that are coming upriver on an ebb, first of all, they use more fuel. They're going against the current. It can take longer in bad weather to come upriver on a current. I remember a pilot telling me one time that it took something like 5 hours to get from the mouth of the river to Astoria in really bad weather on an ebb. The ship just kept trying and trying and trying to go against all those forces, and it was just a really difficult situation. So they, on the positive side, they do have the river as a brake to help with maneuverability, because it is pushing against the ship, and that can help stabilize it a little bit. But there's a lot more about this, I'm sure. I'm just brushing the surface, but that is some of the complicated dynamics of operating a ship on the river. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.